though.
Yes, it does.
Well,
how many
not
games
for the
got
majority
won
of the time
this year? Messi and Ronaldo have had goals in the UEFA Cup, and because they got fouled in the box. I mean, yeah, that happens more frequent than you think. They're penalty kicks.
Not for it to decide
yes
who's going to win.
You don't think it does
well
if a team wins 1-0 and that goal comes off of a penalty kick. You don't think that matters?
No, it matters. I'm not saying that the goals that
well,
they score matters.
It happened.
But it's not happening
it's
as
how Argentina won
as
one of the games. Penalty
yeah
kick.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
it's
in the game.
I think it's fine if it happens within the game, but now it's like it's outside of the game. And I just don't understand. Like I keep saying, I'd rather see teams go head-to-head, play full-on defense, have full-strength offense, instead of just having five guys determine what the whole team did as a whole throughout the season.
Okay. Whose side are you on? Jordan Mines. 800 on anyone will search. I like the penalty kick. I think I love
it. It's not that it's like,
I love
it's the dumbest thing that I've ever, like, cause I don't,
right.
I'd still find it entertaining, but I do see the argument of wanting to have, you know, even more time rather than just go straight to penalty shootout.
Well, and like I said, you are not alone. There are a lot of people that feel that penalty kicks aren't the game, and you know, I don't see that that way.
I guess we just have different things of what's entertaining, because I know you said you were on the edge of your seat, but that's just, I'll just kind of sit back.
Are you looking at,
because
I saw somebody on national TV say this. It would be like in an NBA game after two overtime
yeah, whoever
periods,
makes more free throws.
I would say it'd be more like one-on-one, not a free throw. Like, you get to pick, you know, you get 5 one-on-ones, and you got to score.
No, because then what if you don't have the player to match?
I'm not going to lie to you. That's part of the strategy. You got to find of your five guys who you think can make the goal.
But that's not what got
now
you.
Now that I think
that's
about
not
it,
what
you know
got
what
you there, though.
I'm in.
But that's not what got
scrap
you to that
three
position.
Basketball overtime.
It's not a singular
give me one
team
basketball
sport
overtime in 5 minutes, and now I want 5 one-on-ones.
It's not a one-person sport,
you
which
want
is why
that
it doesn't make sense.
You wouldn't want that. Giannis,
no,
Zion, the
no
fifth one-on-one.
No.
Got to stop.
No.
Got to score.
No.
You don't. You'd rather 5 minutes of bricks. That would you rather? I'm in. I think I would love that now that I think about it.
Now you have clowns hating on you because of
now, what about that
it being 1v1 and the whole
what about that
tournament weighing on
Bledsoe
one kid's shoulder
versus Curry to win the game. You got that's your matchups 5-on-5.
Yeah, no.
But what about if you
actually
put,
you solidified
you,
my case even
what
more?
If you bring, no, what
absolutely
if you,
not.
What if you bring in Nah off the bench?
Absolutely not.
I love that idea actually during a regular season. Why not? Let's do that. Postseason, fine. Let's keep playing it. How about that, Jordan? That would add to the game for me. At least try it in a preseason. 5 one-on-ones, like PKs. No? You wouldn't like that?
Because the Pelicans would most likely lose.
B.I. versus Cam Johnson. And vice versa. One-on-one. Gotta get the bucket in. Do they settle for a jumper? Do they take a three? Do they drive to the basket? I'm in. That's as pure as anything. You've been doing one-on-one in your driveway with your friends for years. Bring it in. I love it. I think I'd like to see it. Let's start it, Jordan. You want to start that trend?
No.
Why not?
I just don't think it would be entertaining.
I think it would be incredibly entertaining. Rafael Esparza next on ESPN New Orleans.
This the summer event at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right ones should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
The New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation presents the 15th annual Louisiana Cajun Zydeco Festival, happening every Friday and Saturday beginning July 9th through the 31st. Louisiana's most beloved Cajun and Zydeco performers will take the stage at the George and Joyce Wynn Jazz and Heritage Center. Chubby Carrier, Beausoleil avec Michael Doucet, the Magnolia Sisters, Corey Ledé, Dwayne Dupsy, and the Zydeco Hellraisers, Sweet Cecilia, and many more. Admission is free to all concerts. Visit www.cajunzydecofest.com.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports. The way to follow him over on Twitter, Instagram, daily videos, the freebies for you. Guess what I'm watching in the TV here in the studio, Rafael. Good afternoon to you.
I'm going to guess this correctly. I think you are watching Empire Strikes Back.
No. I'm watching ESPN, and they're talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Why? Why would you do
it, on Jalen and Jacoby? Well. They're talking about Aaron Rodgers, which it's they again, start training camp on July 27th. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's July 12th. We should not be talking NFL.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers. Listen to me. We're going to talk about some stuff that happened on Saturday, yesterday, and of course NBA Finals. But I need to know, how would you like this or not? Maybe I'm an innovator. Maybe I'm just delusional with all the rain. All right. Do you like penalty kicks in soccer?
Yes.
Okay. I was just telling Jordan this last segment because we're at a disagreement. He doesn't like it. I do like it. I think it is entertaining. I said, imagine if in the NBA you would have something like this where you play 1 5-minute overtime like normal. And instead of like two or three overtimes, whatever, which everyone's gassed. And how about you do something like soccer? 5 1-on-1s, you know. See how many times they can score. So it'd be, I don't know, Zion versus Giannis. I don't know if you do point guard versus point guard or however, but it's 1-on-1. It's basically like you've done in your driveway when you play with a friend. It's 1-on-1, and that to me would be kind of entertainment. It's one of the reasons I think a lot of people like the big three that's happening right now. I don't know. Would you like to see an overtime sort of like soccer style in the NBA after 1 5-minute overtime like they normally have now in the regular season?
This is how they should go. They should pick the 5 worst free throw shooters from the team, and they have to have a free throw shooting contest at the end.
Wait, see, why'd you say the regular season? Why'd you say the regular season? Because why not the playoffs? Because if the Euro Cup was decided off of PKs, then what's the problem with doing it in the playoffs?
I'm okay with it that way. I was just saying it was doing a regular season try and see how it works.
Okay.
See if you like it.
I just don't think it would go well.
Okay. So I get it. You don't like it. Now you don't want to see the 5 1-on-1s.
Yeah, because if you're playing the Nets and played an absolute hell of a game, and you're the New Orleans Pelicans, who's matching up against KD? Who's matching up against Kyrie? Who's matching up against James Harden?
Let me ask you something. Did you think that Precious Achiuwa would block Kevin Durant?
Gus.
Did you?
If you give anybody enough time, I'm sure they can block an NBA player.
Well, there you go. Rafael, did you watch that block? Should we panic that Team USA lost against Nigeria?
No, I don't think we should panic. But, I mean, for them coming home with the gold, I think is going to be a lot harder than what people think. So the game was just a fluke. I mean, Nigeria was shooting threes like there was no tomorrow. but for bringing home the gold, I think that's where you need to panic. This is a lot of good teams that's going to be over there.
I think the 3-point shot, right, kind of evens things out for a lot of countries here as well. There were 20 of 42 Nigeria, USA, just 10 made threes. All right, let's get to the action on the Octagon on Saturday, man. I was texting you throughout it. There were so many different storylines, from Greg Hardy going down to obviously, you know, McGregor, but it was kind of a fun film. I think the crowd added to it, right? First time over in Vegas that you had a full arena. I mean, everyone was there to be seen again. It had that big night atmosphere.
Yeah, it did. I was jealous. I was supposed to be there, but still can't fly out there yet. So I was a little bit jealous. So I was hoping it would have got canceled or postponed because I was really jealous not being there. But it was great. I thought the fans were fantastic. They were booing when people were grappling like the old days. So it was fun to see the fans there. So the fans, I think they got their money's worth. I mean, especially they took a lot of money off from the sports books with the favorites going 12-2. Or 10-2 for the whole card. So a lot of books probably lost a little coin at the time.
What was the thing that stood out to you the most on Saturday? Was it McGregor's broken tibia fibia?
Not really. I don't think. I would think the two bloodiest matches. I think the Sean O'Malley, the guy that he fought, was just taking punishment after punishment. And I thought the female fight between Jessica I and Jennifer Maui. Jennifer I's forehead looked like she had a third eye poking out of her forehead. So I thought those two were probably the most memorable moments.
I would say that was probably, I don't know, what more gruesome a photo, McGregor's ankle when it snapped or his lower leg, or that gash on her forehead?
I would say that gash on her forehead, because lately we've seen a lot of people's legs in the UFC snap like that. So it's almost like I think that's a new norm. When it comes to UFC people breaking their legs just awkwardly and weirdly. So I hate to say it's a new norm, but you don't see gashes on a forehead that looks like a Cyclops from an X-Men action figure.
Dude, it was tough. It was kind of to look at it like that from that perspective. Where does Dustin Poirier sit with you, though, the Louisiana Lafayette native?
I think he needs to bring home the belt against Charles Oliveira. Probably we're going to see that maybe in September or October. I think he needs to dominate that fight and be a dominant champion. Because, I mean, yeah, he beaten Conor McGregor two straight times, but I don't know what kind of fighter Conor McGregor is now. He's not the same fighter we've seen when he was coming up. He's the billionaire fighter right now. And then all I remember is when Khabib dominated Poirier in that fight. So I think I need to see a legitimate belt on Justin Poirier for me to say, okay, he's a top fighter right now. Hopefully he can keep that belt around his waist.
One of the things that I found interesting when you think of, you know, those matches in bouts, I guess, is that the draw. I mean, it's one thing about him, it draws. Now, you know, they said after the match, you know, that a fourth one is coming. Do you think that would still draw the interest?
Yes. I mean, Ronda Rousey said it perfectly about Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor sitting on the octagon with a broken leg was already promoting his next fight. People want to say, oh, he shouldn't have been saying that about Poirier's wife or Poirier. You know what? He knows what brings home the bacon. He knows what brings home the billions in his back pocket. So he did correctly what he was supposed to do, be the villain and be the top draw. No disrespect to Poirier, no disrespect to anybody in that locker room in the UFC, but no one can pull the needle and no one can bring the box office like Conor McGregor. He knows what he was doing.
Would you have been upset if somebody says your wife's in my DMs or me your wife in me DMs?
If that guy that said that to my wife had $1 billion in his banking and checking account, no, I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah, I would probably understand as well. Let me ask you this. Tonight is the home run derby, dude. I've had some fun ones that I can go back and look. I enjoy it. I watch it. It is what it is right now. I mean, give me something sports, I'll watch. But I do sort of enjoy it, especially this season. You know, Shohei Ohtani has been what a lot of people are calling the face of baseball right now. Are you itching to see tonight? And what do you have in the books? How many homers is he getting?
I normally don't watch anything related to All-Star Weekend. That's NBA, MLB, the Pro Bowl, or anything. I would probably sit and maybe watch the first round of this one just to see how. Because it's in Coors Field. If this was not in Coors Field, I don't care if Shohei Ohtani was going head-to-head against Babe Ruth. I probably wouldn't watch it. But this is in Coors Field. Anything can happen in Coors Field. So it's going to be interesting. I'm rooting for Trey Mancini. I mean, I saw his story on ESPN this morning. I muted the Aaron Rodgers stuff, but put the volume on with Trey Mancini's story came up. So I'm going to be rooting for him. He's 12-1 to win the Home Run Derby. And then keep an eye out for Trevor Story. I mean, he's 10-1. To win it. They're playing in his backyard. Why not take the two double digits?
Let me ask you this. don't know about you, but I want to see an ALCS, Yankees and Astros. Not disrespecting the other teams that are leading divisions. I just, after this weekend, the jersey tugging, the, you know, Aaron Judge. No, it's not what I meant. Altuve takes off his jersey to show. Here's my thing. If you're the Astros, how can you get upset if anybody does that? And how can you act like, you know, literally someone wet the bed next to you or something? When you did it, you cheated. You actually did it, and yet you're getting ticked off because somebody on the other team rounds the bases and tugs at his jersey. It's incredible to me.
I agree, but I think if you're looking at a Houston's point of view, they're like, okay, it's old news. Let's just move on, and it's old news. But if you're Houston, then you have to also still continue to take it because it was all been witnessed that you guys cheated. But I'm sorry. Yankees ain't gonna make it. They're battling for almost last place with the Orioles. They're 8 games out of their division. They're going nowhere in baseball. Yankees are probably one of the most disappointing stories in Major League Baseball right now is the New York Yankees.
Okay, all right. Anything on Aaron Rodgers before we let you go? No.
Yes, he is going to be in the next big three. He's quitting the NFL, and he's going to be in the big. I didn't even know the big three was still going.
Fine. I'll ask you something legit. Okay, so Djokovic wins yesterday, his 20th. He ties Nadal, ties Federer. Is he the GOAT? Because here's my thing: is he not winning the U.S. Open? I mean, who's stopping him right now? If he wins the U.S. Open, he's done, right? I mean, he's the GOAT. He'd have 21.
I would say yes. If he wins 21, which I think he's going to do pretty easily, then in my book, he is the GOAT, yes.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be interesting.
I'm a big fan of both all three of them, so it's hard not to make a counteroffer for any of those three guys as the GOAT. But 21 is GOAT-like material, and that's what he's going to have.
He just looks so dominant, though, right? I mean, like, you saw Federer kind of... And you've seen him. I mean, he's still reaching some, you know, like, what, 2 years ago to finals and he lost in that fifth set to Joker. But you can still see he can play. But Djokovic he looks getting stronger. He's like Tom Brady-like, huh?
Yeah. I mean, he's probably going to end up, I would think, around 26, 27, I'm thinking. So 21, he's the GOAT, but he's just going to add more to that number. And I think that's why when he hangs up his racket, he's going to be listed to the GOAT. But I have to mention this before I get off. Rest in peace, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, WWE wrestler, passed away today. He was one of my all-time favorites back when I was a kid. So, Mr. Wonderful, rest in peace.
Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Follow him, just don't DM him.
I might DM you.
No, you're not. No, there's certain topics you don't DM.
Rafael, I might DM you.
No, you don't.
I'm doing it now. Check your DM.
You can DM me if you bring me my ice cream.
I told you I'm going to need the address.
That's incredible. Where's his ice cream, man?
Where's the address?
Sports Hangover continues next. Head coach Kenny Farrell will give him a chat next, starting SB New Orleans. You have missed your cue. So keep your eyes set on the horizon, on the line where blue meets blue.
Mike, I understand you need the parts.
Carly's Car Shop demands more engine fixing horsepower. They need to floor it to find their staff some backup.
We need to finish up that coupe today. It cannot be here for another 2 weeks.
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. With Indeed Instant Match, we immediately show you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed meet your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
The football season is always exciting. Coaches getting hired, players getting traded, free agents moving to new cities. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire.
Basketball fans, watch the NBA Finals live with YouTube TV. Get live TV from 85-plus top channels, including ABC, ESPN, Disney, and Nat Geo.
Watch the live sports, local news, and shows you love with unlimited DVR storage included. YouTube TV brings crystal clear HD live TV streaming to all your favorite devices. No cable boxes, no long-term contracts. Set up in minutes. Find out more at YouTubeTV.com. YouTube TV. Try it free. Terms apply.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Kenny Farrell, head coach of your playoff-bound New Orleans Jesters. Coach, congratulations. I saw the team photo there, bringing a conclusion to the home schedule here. Congrats. What was it like, the 3-1 win on Saturday night?
It started off fantastic. We scored a couple of goals in the first, I'd say, 15 minutes. We were 2-0 up and took our foot off the gas a little bit and allowed them to get back in the game 2-1 by halftime. And then the second half was toe-to-toe. I was a little nervous. We were always a better team. But it was a lot of fight in Florida Roots. And, they gave us a tough go of it. But we ended up scoring late on in the game to make it 3-1, took the pressure off, and then moved into a playoff position. And like everybody there, it was ecstatic. And it was a great celebration after the game with the fans and the players, and it was wonderful. But now we're at the next step. We're looking to go a lot further in this competition.
Well, I asked you last week, and it was hard to believe that it felt like we were just talking about this in May when your season started.
Yeah.
Here we are now going into the postseason and play. And
yeah,
you said the last couple of weeks, the draws. And you weren't upset about the draws because you said it was just about you finishing. And if you did that, as you just kind of alluded, you thought you were the better team. Do you think that you guys can make a run in the playoffs that's rather deep because of that, that you think you have the talent? It's just a matter of putting it together and closing out games?
Yeah, it simply comes down to that. I mean, the matchups, we know the teams that we're playing in the next, you know, in this round coming up. We played Jacksonville twice already. We're playing them away on Wednesday. We understand what they bring to the table. We played them twice. We understand their environment. We understand their stadium. And we know where they're dangerous. But they also, you know, we've matched up well against them, even though they beat us 3-2 away a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I felt that we were the better team on the night. And I think that, you know, if we have a little bit of luck on our side, we can match them, we can beat them, and if we put the chances in the back of the net, we'll win the game. And I'm fully confident of that. So I'm quite happy going into this game the way it is right now and the way the players are playing right now. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to an exciting game and feeling good about it.
Coach, obviously now you face the number one seed in Jacksonville. Look, you faced them on already before. What can you tell us about them, and how do you think you've matched up against them?
They're very well coached. We've matched up well. We're a completely different style of play than they have. They've got some dangerous areas. They break very well with late runs from midfield on blindside that we've got to pick up on. And they do like to get down the line and play with crosses, getting players in behind us, in behind fullbacks, and we're well aware of that. So we'll try to nullify that as much as we can. They're also scared of us because they've seen us play and they know how dangerous we can be. And in their minds, they know that if we finish our chances, they're in for a rough night. So it's going to be toe-to-toe. We'll play on the front foot even though we're away from home. We'll go at them. We'll open up. That's the best way for our team to play. And we figure that out through the season. It's just the character of our team. They work extremely hard. And we win a lot of second balls, first balls, and if we get to those and we create chances, we'll win the game. We understand where they can be dangerous. We'll try to nullify that, and we'll go from there.
When do you leave? I mean, it's not exactly a short trip over there to Jacksonville.
We leave tomorrow morning. We'll be in Jacksonville by tomorrow night, and then we'll play them on Wednesday night.
Yeah. All right, easy enough. Coach, hopefully you bring back a playoff W for sure against the number one seed, and we'll touch base on that, but there was just soccer everywhere this weekend, Coach. Let's go back to Saturday. it's hard to not see it. My wife didn't understand it, but we were watching it together, and it was hard to not get caught up and kind of, you know, like an onion was being cut or so, to see Messi's reaction, man. It's nuts. She's like, I know who that is. I don't know anything about soccer, but why so many people congratulating him? How can you describe it to people who maybe don't follow the sport? Why was that win so important for Messi?
Well, think about the game. It's the Copa America. It's the final. It's a tremendous tournament that this year was played a year before the World Cup. It's usually played 2 years before the World Cup. They're playing Brazil, arch rival. There was a time in the 80s and 90s where Argentina were the top side in the world, the top nation in the world. And then there's been multiple times where Brazil are right at the top and everyone rates them always one of the best teams in the world. And they're playing us. And then you have Messi, who has been criticized so often for when he plays for his nation, Argentina, and they haven't won anything. They haven't been at the top for the last 10 years. Maybe a little bit more. Yet he's been dominating the world playing for Barcelona in La Liga, and every time he plays, the nation turns on him. But his players know how valuable he is. I think the nation knows how valuable he is, and everybody wanted him to win something and to be, and to bring Argentina back into the level that Brazil is at. And when you think you're 12 months off from the World Cup, Messi has won just about every trophy you can win in soccer at club level. He's won zero at the national level with his country. He's in the footsteps of Diego Maradona, because when he came into the team, Maradona was basically stepping out, and he's taken on that position. So at the end of the day, to beat Brazil in the Maracanã in Brazil and in that tournament, it's just such national pride and just the success and the relief, I think, and the belief in Lionel Messi was seen by everybody. It was amazing. But we spoke before, Gus, about, when you talk about Cristiano Ronaldo and you talk about Messi and who's the better player, and they've been dominating the world, with Ronaldo for Portugal. But Portugal went on and won the Euros 4 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're very dominant in the world, and they were very dominant in the World Cup. And so Ronaldo was getting that, and we've said it. I said, until you win something big with your national team, are you ever going to be that player? You've got to win something big. So I think all that is rolled into Messi's story with the nation. But I also think that it's positioning Argentina very well for the World Cup next year, that they've gone and done this and the belief is there. We talk about that with the USA national team as well. It's that you've got to have everybody buying in. It's not just your players. It's your media. It's your fans. It's the euphoria. It's everything gets behind it. And I think that's what it meant, not just to the team, to Messi, but the team knew they need him to lead them through. So I think it was very emotional, but I think it was a tremendous night for them. Although I didn't know if it was the UFC or the final of the.
Now, I sent you the screenshot of the amount of fouls and everything, Coach. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was a rugby match, to be honest with you. And you guys were playing, so I was going back and forth and watching it. But, man, he had a chance to score there, and he literally he fumbled. Yeah. I mean, he fell. He just lost his footing.
Yeah.
Now, the field was wet and all that, but still, if they'd have tied it and they'd have lost, that moment would have been replayed forever, right?
Oh,
thankfully,
yeah.
It wasn't for him.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, Coach, England and Italy, there's a huge discussion right now about penalty kicks. Jordan hates it.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it is part of the game. It's exciting. People are upset by that. I thought, to me, England they showed the pressure on their kicks. Now, I don't know. You're actually a soccer coach, and we talk about penalty kicks and joking if I can stop one or not. When a player starts, stops, then stops at the ball and then kicks it, doesn't that give the advantage to the keeper?
Well, it depends if the keeper moves before, if they've timed it well and the keeper moves a certain direction and they have the skill to turn the ball the other way. I don't believe in it. I think you pick your spot. You drive the ball into the inside of the net and that's it. And you put it in a position where it's very difficult for a keeper to get across, no matter how cat-like he is. But I don't like to see, I've said this before, it's very difficult even to win a game on penalties, because did you really win it? Are you really the champion? And it's very hard to lose on penalty kicks. And I've often thought of other ways to end the game, and just keep it playing, or maybe bring it down to 77 or something, anything, but penalty kicks are made. But it's so exciting for, you know, for fans to watch around the world. That, you know, the intensity is there, and everybody's sitting on the edge of their seat. And, you know, these players are under the spotlight, and they've got to step up, not only in front of, you know, a packed Wembley, but probably the whole globe looking at them taking these penalties. There's a lot of pressure there. And there were some young kids taking those penalties. I do believe that the coach made a couple of mistakes, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. But I don't know if Rashford, I don't know if the two substitutes who were brought on to take penalties in the penalty shoot, because you've got to be on the pitch to take a penalty. If you're not in the 11, you can't take a penalty, right?
Okay.
So he brought them on in the 119th minute. I'm not sure that either one of them struck the ball once before the final whistle went. And then you're stepping up and putting them in that situation. I couldn't believe what I was seeing at the time. And to the person that was with me watching the game, I said, this is a mistake. I just thought it was a mistake.
They're talking about it right now. There's Gareth Southgate deserves the blame. It. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And, like, he goes off data and, you know, from training sessions and from games and this, that, and the other. I understand data, but if you're a player or a coach, you understand emotion. You understand what it's like to be in that position. And that's how he said he made his decision. Now, I also think that he gave the game away in the second half. When they came out in the first 20, 25 minutes, we spoke about it last week, Gus. He said that, you know, the crowd will win it for England. They came out and they took Italy on. They shocked Italy in the first 15, 20 minutes where they couldn't put a pass together. And England looked like, you know, best team in the world. And then that little bit of fear, I always talk about fear in games, that little bit of fear got into them. And when Italy changed up their game at halftime and came out to play a different day, they evaluated what was going on. England went into a shell. And I don't think, you know, when you look at the bench that they have and the problems they could have caused for Italy or gave Italy more to worry about and didn't make those changes in the second half, not only did they sit back and try and hold on to a 1-0 win at home in Wembley,
right?
They allowed the crowd to become quiet. They became nervous. They sat back in their seats. They weren't on the edge of this. They were sitting back. They were like, okay, let's hold on for this. And I think he lost it there. I think he would have made changes earlier, and he had the players to do it. But, you know, when you look at Raheem Sterling, who's playing in the 120th minute, and you see that you've got players on the bench like Foden and Rashford, and Grealish didn't come on until very late, I just found that astounding to me. And I think he'll learn from that in the future.
Now, one thing I definitely want to bring up here as well is the U.S. did get a win, 1-0 over Haiti yesterday. Again, look, this is going to be an interesting sort of run just to see who these guys sort of are. But everyone that kind of covers the sport for the U.S. kind of looks at it like this. If they can get some sort of momentum, get some guys behind them and find out an identity, it could be a good thing. Look, Mexico struggled in their opening game as well against Trinidad and Tobago. So, look, let's see what happens, right?
Yeah, so I don't think he's doing anything wrong. He's using these games to get a look at players and to get you and the fans and everybody else familiar with players that may end up in the squad going to the World Cup. Think about it. They're playing Martinique in the next game. They only need to win two games to advance to the second round of this competition. And they've already won one against Haiti. They are minnows. They're minnow nations. But how do these players ever prove themselves on the national scene if they don't get in and play? So he's taken an opportunity to do that. And, you know, they won the game 1-0. It was comfortable. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks USA, Haiti should be 5-0. But it was 1, but they won it. And I have no problem with that. I think the bigger thing for the U.S. and for Berhalter is when they get into games that have a lot more meaning, when they get into the fall, when they're preparing for the World Cup and they're playing the Nations League and stuff like that, and then he's putting his best squad together to win when you really have to win. Then we're going to see what this team is made of and if they have the muster to go ahead and be successful in the World Cup. I would say that if he fails there, that it might be time to look at a change, because you don't want to go all the way into the World Cup if you haven't got it right. And there's always been a question mark about Greg's, you know, pedigree, I suppose, because he's come through the MLS and when you look at coaches around the world that are coaching other countries, either big or small countries, and the level they're at, the question mark still remains over him. But I've still got his back up until, you know, reevaluate in the fall as I say, when the games have more meaning. I am looking forward to, and I hope it happens, the USA-Mexico game in this tournament. And we'll see from there. But I'd give him, I think he's doing okay right now.
Mm-hmm. Coach, as always, you know, I love to talk soccer, and especially after this weekend, man. Yeah, you had a ton, including your win. That puts you into the playoffs, and now you get rewarded with the number one seed. How about a nice little upset once again? That is Wednesday, Coach. Hopefully we'll talk on Thursday about a win, huh?
Oh, we'll bring him back a win. We'll go there. We'll guarantee a great performance, and hopefully the result comes with it.
There is Kenny Farrell, coach of your New Orleans Jesters at NOLA Jesters, the way on Twitter to follow him. Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Coach.
Thank you, Gus. Talk soon.
Sounds good. Chris Paul, Jordan. What he had to tell DeAndre Ayton when he had all those foul trouble and penalty. That's the second game in a row we've seen DeAndre need a talking, not a talking to, but a little pep talk. We'll play some of that sound from the NBA Finals Game 3 last night, next on ESPN New Orleans.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
With no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like Taylor Swift choosing what to wear.
It's looking kind of chilly out today. I think I'll go with a cardigan.
Yep, even easier than that. And with our top-rated app, you can bank anytime, anywhere, making Capital One an even easier decision. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
New consumer accounts only. Approval required. Terms apply. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Oh, big talker, ain't it?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Hey, Jordan does not like penalty kicks. I like penalty kicks. Head coach Kenny Farrell of your New Orleans Jesters feels that there are other ways to perhaps say, what are the exact words? Do you ever feel like you really won when it comes to penalty kicks, which is an argument that you said? He says it is exciting, though, for fans. But as a coach, he wishes there were other ways to win it. That's been your argument. Sorry.
Yeah, because it's basically, all right, there's all the pressure on just the goalkeeper. There's the defensive guys that play defense the whole other 90 minutes. They don't even have a chance to, help their own keeper out. So what do you do with those guys? It's almost like they're not even necessary to the game at that point. So it just feels like a one-man band instead of it being a team competition.
Well,
like it.
What do you mean? Like, it's still, I mean, he's representing one guy.
Yeah, but now it's an individual thing.
Well, you don't think he has that kind of pressure the entire game? He's the only person that can stop a goal.
No.
No?
You have your defensive, you have your defensive line.
800-998-1003. I took this argument and then, I don't know, did I?
You ran away with it.
Yeah, I guess I did. How about we do something like this in the NBA after 1 5-minute overtime period instead of multiple overtime periods? Jordan, what about 5 1-on-1s? Just like you did in the driveway.
Little team's choice.
Huh? Yep. Make them say, here you go. Check. I give you the ball. I throw it really hard at your chest. Come on, Jordan, score on me. One-on-one.
Sounds like a bunch of layups to me.
Really? You think it's a layup?
He'll be seeing a lot of layups.
Wow. So you think it just continues? Nobody would stop anybody, huh?
Well, I think there'd be stoppage. I mean, there'd be a couple things that'd be exciting, but I don't think anyone's going to be shooting the ball as much. No one's going to be taking a step back three.
Okay.
Because then, how do you judge that? Also, is it just all right? Well, if it's a score. What if it's a 3-point shot? Does it mean more than a dunk?
Saul's on my side, I think. Says, in leagues and in high school, you do penalty kick shoots. Nothing adds pressure in making the key block to win it for the game. I like it. It absolutely adds to it. It really does. And look, one of the reasons that I do think that maybe here in the States, and maybe it's why I didn't, until I understood it more and watched it more, is the lack of scoring, right? We're used to points. Right? It's why the NFL's, I mean, points matter. In baseball, why do we love Ohtani? Because he's going to launch the ball. We like points. Now, your purists, like the Graf, could watch a nothing-nothing score into the top of the ninth, two hits between his Dodgers and somebody else. He'd hate it and he'd love it at the same time. I get it. So I do kind of like it from that perspective, right? I mean, look, Major League Baseball added. They went, it could have been 19 innings. And what did they do? They said from here on out, extra innings, we're putting a runner on second. We're putting a runner on second. Crank up the pressure, volume two. Here we go. Whoop. Runner on second. Base hit, somebody scoring. I mean, and that sport, Jordan, oh my goodness. They are literally the old man that screams at clouds or you are stepping on their lawn. Like,
better not change up anything that anything, the sport does.
Anything. And they went the route of exciting it more after you play your nine innings, which kind of is a different thing, right? I didn't walk you. You didn't get a hit. And you're putting somebody on a position to score.
No, it's completely different.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's the same thing.
All right, do we have a we just have a batter?
Why do I want to watch another 90 minutes of people just running around and nobody scores?
Nope, we just have a batter and a pitcher.
No.
1-on-1.
Well, there you go.
That's essentially what they're doing.
And I would be fine with that.
How? That would be boring.
No, it's not. How is it boring? Somebody's either going to get struck out and then that's a point, or somebody's going to get a hit or a home run and that's a point. How is it boring? You have finality. You have something that's going to happen that you know. Either a score
is going to happen.
Or no, you don't actually.
Yes, you do. It's going to happen at some point.
You are lying through your teeth if you thought that Italy was going to have three blocks on that penalty kick yesterday. No way in heck.
So LSU, Texas A&M a few years ago when both teams scored over 70 points.
I loved it.
Yeah, but you actually
I loved it.
It
was what it was start from the 25.
It wasn't a running back and one of the
Did you like that? Did you watch with anticipation every single snap and every overtime in that game?
Yeah, cuz it was actually a team thing.
It was a team effort.
Oh,
stop with the team and how many players are doing it. It's completely different than the game, right?
No, not really, cuz you're
really?
Still playing.
So you play four quarters of every team starting at the 25-yard line.
You're still playing football. You're not just going one v one.
It's still soccer. They do.
No, you're not. No,
they do
not.
Penalty kicks
it's
in soccer
different.
In the game.
Yeah, but it's a part
no,
of
there's
the game.
There's no yeah
this is,
nothing.
This is just putting it at a certain position, and the teams are duking it out like you would in a regular 60 minutes.
You're
of
never going to convince me. You're never going to convince me.
This is completely you're, different. This is not, all right. You got a penalty five straight times in the box, and now you're just shooting to see who wins.
Yep, ooh. Jack. What you got for us?
Not exciting.
Very exciting.
Not at all.
Absolutely. Jack, what do you have? Hello, Jack. Hello, Jack. All right, we'll try to get Jack here in a quick second here. One of the things that, Jordan, one of the other reasons why I dig it is because it gives me that excitement level of, dude, I mean, it's hard to stop those. At the same time, you also see yesterday clearly the pressure on those penalty kicker, you know, the kids trying to get that in. It looks super easy. Apparently it's not, you know, I don't know how that's not exciting.
Just, I think they should just shrink the field. Shrink the field.
And, oh, yeah. So you, and then your argument,
just play it out.
You're literally see, this is when you make me need to just breathe a deep breath. You literally just told me you don't like penalty kicks because it's not soccer. And now you're arguing shrink the field.
No, so, it's still soccer, now, but it's on. So it's just on a smaller scale.
We're playing half court? We're playing half the field? Really?
If you want,
what are we bringing? The goalies in?
You could bring the goal up to the
to
midfield and just play on one side of the ball.
You literally just argued that now we're not playing soccer.
It's still soccer.
Oh, it is.
It's still soccer. Because you're playing the same. It's just on a smaller field.
Really?
Now,
do you see how difficult it is to actually get one goal with that width of a field and now you want to shrink it? How do you think that's going to go?
It's going to be so much more entertaining.
Zero entertaining.
No.
You're never going to get a shot on goal.
There's going to be more intensity.
When are you going to get when are you going to get the shot on goal? You have bodies everywhere.
The thing with hockey is it's a smaller area and there's more the speed of it's so much faster. So if you shrink the field in overtime, then there's going to be more intensity, more time to
I'm not
rest.
I'm not buying this.
Cuz apparently, you know,
I'm not buying this at all.
It's because the players are winded at the end of, you know, what 120 minutes of play.
You've never played soccer, have you?
No, I've played soccer.
Have you?
Yes.
Really? Ronaldo, Messi, Kleber, right there, huh?
Right there with
them. Right there with them. Jack, I see you back on again. We have literally like 20 seconds still. So hold on. I'll hit the break early. We'll come back and start you off in hour number three. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks.